A different start to the Nolan Show this morning due to the tragic events in Derry last night.
I will defend to the death anyone's right to express their beliefs in a democratic society. For me, the true test of the Christian spirit isn't how you treat the people who go to church with you, whose beliefs are the same as your own and who you understand. It's how you treat the people that you really don't understand, how you treat your enemies.
Those are the words of the journalist Lyra McKee. And last night, Lyra was shot dead on the streets of Derry by what the police believe were dissident Republicans. And this morning, we will get political reaction to this senseless murder. And I also want to hear from you. What is your message to the people who carried out this despicable act? As always, the phone lines are open, 03030 80 55 55. But first, I want to play you a powerful interview that Lyra did with Stephen in 2014. And we want to play this because it will show just the type of person that Lyra was: strong, passionate, and an incredible supporter for people who might be struggling. Now, Lyra did the interview with Stephen after she had written a letter to her 14-year-old self about coming out as gay. Lyra had been bullied when she was a teenager for being different. She wrote the letter in the hope that other young people would take heart from it, because that was the sort of person that Lyra was.
I did not find the courage to come out until I was 20 years old. It was a secret that I kept from when I was 11. I had absolutely no one to talk to. When I was 17, I found the courage to tell some friends who were very kind and very loving. But really, it's like living... People talk about living a lie, but I don't think they realise what it really means to live a lie.
Like, tell them. What does it mean?
It's like having a ball and chain on your leg and carrying it about all day, every day, under your T-shirt, and you're just hoping that no one notices. Every day you get up, you compartmentalise, and your friends don't really know who you are, because you're always showing the side of people that you think is acceptable and that you think they will love the most. You're never yourself. I can't explain, unless you've been in that, it's a prison. You know, I can't explain it. It is the most horrible feeling in the world. And I think people don't really grasp just how horrible and how hard it is. This is not a choice. No one chooses to go through this. I absolutely respect Christians and the right to believe what they believe. And as much as I disagree with it, I will defend to the death anyone's right to express their beliefs in a democratic society. For me, though, the one thing that I would ask of Christians is that, you know, I'm not going to change their beliefs. They're not going to change mine. But I would ask them to consider what they say and the words they choose, because as you said, words do hurt. They really, really do. And for me, the true test of the Christian spirit isn't how you treat the people who go to church with you, whose beliefs are the same as your own and who you understand. It's how you treat the people that you really don't understand, how you treat your enemies. And you know, every time someone makes these comments, or someone who holds a respectable position in society says something like this, it's just another boot in the head of a gay kid in the street, because it lets the violent homophobes, the people who think that it's okay to corner a young boy or a young woman and beat the living daylights out of them because they're gay, it just reinforces that for them, that this is okay behaviour, and that's not acceptable.
Have you got this letter in front of you?
I do.
This is the letter that you wrote to your 14-year-old self that is getting quite a lot of traction on your blog and things. Maybe you can just read the first paragraph or so for us.
No worries. Kid, it's going to be okay. I know you're not feeling that way right now. You're sitting in school. The other kids are making fun of you. You told the wrong person you had a crush, and soon they all knew your secret. It's horrible. They make your life hell. They laugh at you, whisper about you and call you names. It's not nice. And you can't ask an adult for help, because if you did that, you'd have to tell them the truth. And you can't do that. They can't ever know your secret. Life is so hard right now. Every day you wake up wondering who else will find out your secret and hate you.
Did you really think people would hate you?
I did. I really did. I thought that my wonderful, loving mother, who loves me unconditionally, would disown me. I thought my family would disown me. I thought my friends would hate me. I thought I would have to leave the country.
You say later on in this letter, 3 months before your 21st birthday, you write, you will tell Mum the secret. You'll be sobbing and shaking, and she'll be frightened because she doesn't know what's wrong. And did you do that?
I did. And my mother's reaction was priceless. She said to me, thank God you're not pregnant. She was absolutely amazing and loving. And the one thing I would say to any 14-year-old who's listening in, never underestimate the power of a mother's love or how much your mother loves you or how much your father loves you. Honestly, a parent's love should be unconditional, and they mightn't agree with everything you do, or you know, but generally speaking, your parents will love you no matter what. And I've seen people, I've had friends and friends of friends whose fathers were Christian ministers who were really worried about coming out to their parents. And when they did, their dads hugged them, and they might have agreed with it, but they still showed them that they loved them, and nothing could change that.
You talk also about some people who, one man was thrown out of his house because he had come out.
Yes, you know, I was one of the lucky ones, and I know that not everyone's experience is as good as mine, because in the end, I got a happy ending and it all worked out. You know, I seen my best friend, my other best friend, my childhood friend, thrown out of his house because his parents found out that he was gay. I've seen it happen so many times, and when you see these things, it scares you even more, because you've got to understand that you're living with this inside your head, this secret. And so it doesn't have it. There's no reality check. There's no one to tell you this is not the end of the world. It's going to be okay. The whole world is not going to crumble because you tell your mother you're gay or because you come out. So, you know, you live with it inside your head, and you know it yourself. You know, a problem shared is a problem halved. And the longer it's inside your head, the longer you're thinking every worst scenario possible.
And you've had, well, you know that some of the experiences that your friends have had, one of your friends was told by his mum she would beat the gay out of him.
That's correct. I was there the night that happened. And
what happened? Tell me what happened.
Well, we were sitting there, and I was having a chat with her, and actually he was, I think, in the kitchen, and we were just discussing this, and you know, we had friends who were quite obviously gay, you know, and his mother suspected that he was gay, which he was, and she told me within earshot of him, if he ever came out as gay, I would beat the gay out of him. Those were the words she used. What could I say? You know, I mean, I'm sitting there absolutely terrified. I'm 16 years old. I have my own secret that I have to protect. And you know what? When you've got to remember too, this is pre-2010. This is pre-Obama coming out and saying that, you know, and backing gay people. And, you know, for me, I was sitting there thinking, oh my God, oh my God, oh my God, I can't ever tell anyone. You know, it just adds to the fear. Do you know what I mean? It just makes you feel 10 times worse. You know, my plan was to keep it a secret forever. You know, the suicide rates among young gay people are through the roof. These young people have no one to speak to. They are beaten. Often they're beaten in school, beaten up in school. They're called names. They are mentally and physically tortured. That is the experience for many young people in this country. And that is not acceptable, and that is not Christian, Stephen. WWJD, what would Jesus do? If Jesus came to come back to earth, how would he treat gay people? Now, if you consider the gospel of Jesus, it's a gospel of love, forgiveness, and reaching out to the people you consider sinners and outcasts, or society considers sinners and outcasts. Now, I suppose if you're talking from a religious point of view, we're all sinners, but I don't consider myself to be a sinner or an outcast for being gay. What Christians would. So if I follow that logic through and we say, well, are you living your life like Jesus? Are you reaching out to sinners and outcasts? Sinners and outcasts includes gay people. And you don't have to agree with them. You don't have to think that it's okay. But I think you do have to treat them with love and respect. And in return, we have to treat Christians with love and respect. And I think that's where I'd really love to see this debate going next, to a point where we're not shouting and screaming at each other and calling names. There was a great, actually, example of this recently. A priest went to a panel debate on Pride, and he was given so much grief by the crowd. But afterwards, he took a group of young people, gay and transgendered young people, out to McDonald's and bought them their dinner and sat and listened to them talk about their problems. And for me, that was true Christianity. He didn't agree with them, but he treated them like he would anyone else, and he was just so kind. And I just think that, I mean, that I thought that was absolutely amazing.
Thank you for talking to me today, Lara. Thank you very much indeed.
Take care.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
That was Lyra McKee talking to Stephen in 2014.